Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each and every week, we explore different aspects of the world of music, including album reviews, concert reviews, and what we are bringing today, this week in music history. Once again, we are brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. We are recording live from the Lineup Media Studios.
Live.
And of course, along with me, as always, are my co-host Greg Harvey.
Live.
And Jacob Grum.
Sometimes love just isn't enough.
That is true. If you would like to help out our podcast, please go to our website at followthesoundpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner. It takes you to Amazon. Do all of your normal shopping that you would do on Amazon. And you can buy practically anything on Amazon. Once you do that, we get a little bit of money, sort of as a referral fee for having you go through our site. It's very simple, and it will not cost you anything extra except 5 seconds of your time to go through our website to take you to Amazon. Also, if you sign up for Amazon Prime while going through the website, again, we'll get money for that, and I suggest you do so. Amazon Prime is one of the best ways to basically pay for itself with free shipping and access to movies and, of course, their massive, massive music library that you get completely for free.
Amazon.
Good stuff. So go to the website and click on the banner, or just go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Once again, if you want, please do, go check out YoRadio.com. YoRadio is a free app on iTunes and Google Play, and it is free music just for you. To listen on, I mean, multiple genres for different radio stations, 50s rock and roll all the way up through the decades, hip hop from different decades, Celtic music. We've got like the Lake House, which is all sort of like chill vibe music that you might listen to when you're out at the lake. You know, it's like
Mongolian throat rapping.
That'd be amazing, actually. But yes, tons and tons of different stations out there, and soon we will have the very own Follow the Sound station on Yo Radio as well, so you can listen to not only the albums that we review, but basically all of the albums that we love and just want to present. Because that's what the station is. It's just albums, whole albums, start to finish, and hopefully you all will enjoy that very much. So we have This Week in Music History going from June 18th all the way through June 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So very good week from what I understand. Jake put the notes together, and I'm not entirely sure what to expect.
Ooh.
But starting on June 18th, what do we have, Jacob Crum?
1974, Rare Earth's drummer Peter Horlbecky is arrested after tossing his drumsticks into a crowd at his own concert.
Wow.
Because apparently, sometimes rock and roll is just too dangerous.
Sticks and stones, Jake. Sticks and stones.
But here's my favorite Rare Earth track. It's a cover of a Temptations song. It's called Get Ready. Just working his ass off, singing and playing the drums.
Yeah, I was actually watching a video of that, so that's funny. I like what you also don't see with this band is the one dude who's just playing tambourine and looking like a madman while doing it. So
that's my favorite part, is the guy who's like, my part's not as important, but I get to be on stage.
He's looking super serious. There's a lot of percussionists, actually. Wait, there's a saxophone player, too? And, like, the guy playing keyboards looks like the lead singer of Boston.
Dude, Rare Earth is a party in the box. If you haven't listened to him, you need to try it out.
I genuinely loved that cover. That was, because that's a great song that, like, the Temptations do live.
Yeah.
But when you rock it up just a tad, it works so well. I love it.
Yeah. Huh. I dig it. All right. 1984, just a few short years after I was born. The Dolly Parton movie Rhinestone is released, featuring Dolly Parton as a country singer trying to mentor a New York cabbie, played by Sylvester Stallone.
Hey, I'm trying to break into country. Trying to make my big debut.
Except I enunciate way better than he does. Oops.
He kind of mumbles.
You were kind of floating into Travolta there.
Yeah, you were doing a little bit of Travolta.
Yeah, but like...
But I was I'm with you on it.
I feel like Travolta is like a intelligible Stallone. Hey,
Yo, Dolly, you know, I don't know why you try to mentor me.
What is it with
this? That's the best like Stallone I can do.
Hey, I'm thinking about Jolene. She's trying to steal me. I met this girl named Jolene.
She's prettier than you, Dolly.
She got red hair. She's pretty.
All right.
Sorry, Dolly.
So have we seen this movie,
butchering impersonations.
Have we seen this movie, Rhinestone?
I have not. I have not seen
you
it.
You have not seen Rhinestone?
But now I've got to.
Yes, you do.
So, I mean, anything with Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone, that has massive hit written all over
it. I mean, I've just been driving this cab all my life.
If John Travolta back in the 70s or in the 80s and Sylvester Stallone did a movie together where they played cabbies that are
just called cabbies. Stallone.
It's just called cabbies.
Travolta.
Stallone.
Cabbies. Travolta. Hey, you. Hey. Hey, yeah. Hey.
I'm trying to imagine what
John,
that would be.
I'm not a big fan of your cab driving.
Whoa.
Skills.
Hey, I'm not liking your attitude over there.
Like it. So we're talking about Stallone before Rambo, and Travolta with Saturday Night Fever still a hit. So at some point, like, Travolta would have a dance-off with other cabbies, and Stallone would probably...
They're just fighting over who like gets Dolly Parton's love.
No, he would try and find a catchphrase. So, like, everything he would say would be like, is this my new catchphrase? Like, everything would be like, hey, pass me that coffee.
Hey, yo, well, that's my new thing.
I'm just imagining the trailer for this movie, and it's hilarious. Although it always starts with "In a world," but
in a world,
in a world,
Stallone.
Where cab drivers are the I don't know.
Hey yo, you took my fare.
New York is a big city, but there's something behind the scenes. You know, there's like cabbies smoking cigarettes really fast.
Travolta, Stallone in cabbies
in Applejack.
I love it. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, this is about
Dolly
Parton.
Let's get to some birthdays.
Yeah. What up, Dolly?
Oh, man. Okay, Greg, what do we got?
Happy birthday. The year it was 1942 as Paul McCartney was birthed. James Paul McCartney in Allerton, Liverpool, England.
Liverpool. Now, of course, Paul McCartney, you know, hasn't really made a name for himself in all of these years and decades after the fact. I mean, he's had a couple of hits, but...
Yeah, he plays bass. He's got a spiffy haircut.
No, Paul McCartney is still rocking out at his old age. He still looks pretty darn good for his age, too. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he puts on still one of the best live shows I've seen. So I've been happy. I've seen him a couple of times now in different stadiums, and he is a fascinating dude. Also, I have made... I've never hidden the fact that I've always been a bigger Paul McCartney fan than I ever have been of John Lennon. And that's just because I prefer the way that he writes songs, even if he writes goofy songs occasionally, you know, but I
can't forgive him for that Christmas song.
Well, that's fine. You can not do
that. I
can't.
And also, if you want to know secret to looking good at like age 74, weed.
Well,
it relaxes
I mean,
the face.
Possible,
you get less wrinkles and spend a lot of money on a good wig.
I'm just saying, like, even Paul McCartney's new stuff is still freaking good.
Who was it that he just did that crossover song with?
Oh,
a couple years back.
Kanye. Kanye and Rihanna. Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That song wasn't great.
It was not good.
But
what, 4 or 5 seconds?
Yeah,
no.
But his the other stuff that he's done, like, I mean, I remember really finding out more about what he'd been doing after he released Memory Almost Full. Mm-hmm. And Memory Almost Full was great. Chaos and Creation in the Backyard was a brilliant album. It really was. It was a great, great album, and I'm amazed that more people haven't heard it.
You know, for the record, people did lose their shit over that 4 or 5 second song.
Yeah.
Just not you, Jacob.
It was a big hit for him.
Yeah.
When I would go
into a bar and like all the women in there would be like, play 4 or 5 seconds. And I'd play it and they'd all be like, oh, all of my kindness is taken for weakness. Yeah. Also, that collaboration that he did with Kanye for Only One, this was back when I still liked Kanye West. But
back before he became a Trump supporter.
Before
you
he
mean?
Became a Trump supporter. Ugh. Yeah. So, anyways, he did that song about his daughter, and it was really sweet and tender, and I liked that one.
Nice.
So, I know, but all good things must come to an end. Am I right?
Yes. Also, if you haven't forgotten, though, Kanye will be the next president of the United States.
Well, and, you know, okay. 2 seconds here. I don't necessarily blame him for being a Trump supporter. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that I think Kanye West is more of an opportunist who's just trying to get as close to the White House as possible, despite who's the president. And I feel like this is his move, because his wife is now influencing freaking politics from the right arm of Donald Trump, literally, if you've seen the photo.
Yes.
So I'm just saying that it's probably more a power move than anything else. And that's so typical of Kanye. Rant ended.
One of my friends online posted about her being in the White House and was just like, you know, it's horrible that she was there and blah 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 blah.
I was like,
you just wait till she's your first lady.
Did you see the headline? What they called her?
No,
when
I didn't.
She visited.
See it. No.
She was Kim Thong Un.
Oh God, that's horrible.
Receives a visit from Kim Thong Un.
Jesus, Lord help us.
Anyways,
and what do we got next, Jake?
Oh, what do we have? Okay, the only bearable member of Guns N' Roses. 1963, born on this day, Darren Dizzy Dean Reed in Hillsdale, Illinois.
Nice.
Nah, yeah, I like that. That's
yeah,
cool.
He's from Illinois. He's not obnoxious. He's in Guns N' Roses.
Of course, so, keyboard players usually don't get enough exposure to become obnoxious.
Who's the guy currently in Guns N' Roses that is from St. Louis?
Oh, that's the bass player.
I thought it was a guitar player. I thought he was the, like, rhythm guitar player.
Oh, okay, yeah, the rhythm guitar player. I mean, he's obviously the new guy. The
yeah.
bass player introduced
even though
him
he's old, so.
At the show is what because I'm going back to the concert. The bass player was like, this motherfucker's from St. Louis! And it was the rhythm guitar player, yeah.
Yes.
And then he's the one who then ripped into, like, Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah.
With Slash.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
That was a sick show.
That was a great show.
So we got to see a little Dizzy Reed on the keys, tickling the ivories.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to June 19th. Oh, this is a good one, of course. I mean, it's not exactly great, but I'm always happy to have anything involving this lovely lady. In 1980, Donna Summer is the first artist to sign with Geffen Records. She releases The Wanderer later that year.
Donna Summer.
I've always been a fan of Donna Summer. She's had a soft spot in my heart for a while.
She was the first artist on Geffen, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because Geffen is a legacy there. So that's a title in itself, the first artist to get on another historical record company.
Exactly.
Wow.
Let's jump a couple decades.
Richard Steffen.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Fortus.
Yeah, Richard Fortus.
Richard Fortus.
Yes. Yeah. I'm friends with him on Facebook. No, I'm not friends.
Sorry, Rich. Hope you're not listening.
He's got like 30,000 friends or something on there. So it's like, I'm personal friends with Richard Fortus. No, I sent a request and he accepted, or somebody in his group accepted.
His,
you know,
PR,
his
manager.
PR. So.
Oh, but another, he's just, another fan.
He's going to have thousands upon thousands of those. So, yeah.
Well, our next story is pretty hilarious. In 2004, on stage in Oslo, Norway, my lineage home, an audience member, which is, this is odd that it happened in Norway. They're such sweet people. Not one of those shithole countries. An audience member hurls a lollipop on stage while David Bowie is performing in Oslo. Now, it's one thing to have a lollipop hurled at your head because that would suck. It'd be like getting hit with a battery or a coin or anything. But not only that, it's also a sticky lollipop, which it straight up wedged itself in his eye, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody threw a lollipop at David Bowie. It stuck in his eye, which he already had issues with because he had a frozen pupil following a childhood fight, and it was enlarged. And so it was like a target, and somebody hit it. He had to halt the concert, remove the lollipop. Luckily, no serious injury, but what the hell? it didn't hit him. It got stuck in his eye.
Have you ever seen like how sharp and chiseled his cheekbones are? I believe that a lollipop could just get wedged right in there and stuck.
Shink.
Yeah.
Oof. That's got to be rough. And why did somebody even throw anything at David Bowie on stage? Like anything that's going to end the concert? Come on, don't do that.
I just thought he needed a treat.
He looked hungry.
I had this sweet confectionery over here.
Yeah, it would be. There's such
accent
a thing.
Is not doing what I wanted to do right now, but I'll keep going with it.
There's such a thing as being too nice, okay? Just because he looks like he needs a lollipop doesn't mean you have to throw one at him. That's a little too nice. All right.
He chased after him from the dentist office. He's like, you forgot this.
did you forgot this?
All right, let's go on to birthdays.
Let's do.
1925, English entertainer Charlie Drake, known for his disheveled red hair and catchphrase, "Hello, my darlings," is born Charles Springall in Elephant and Castle, Southwark, London, England.
Oh, God.
That has to be a made-up town. There's no way people live in Elephant and Castle.
We have a castle.
Gotta look this up.
I don't believe it. The internet is lying to you, Brian.
Nope. I'm gonna find it. It's gonna be right here, and it's gonna
Wikipedia.
It's gonna be a lovely place.
You why Elephant and Castle? Well, because Monkey and Keep was already taken.
Yep.
Elephant and Castle is an area around a major road junction in South London, England.
Pachyderm and Shack was taken.
It is in the London borough of Southwark, or Southwark.
Yep.
I'm guessing that's how you say it.
Prefer to vacation in Mammoth and Moat.
I don't know how to pronounce any of that stuff.
I'll take Possum and Crater. That's all there is.
So, I mean, considering like the greater London area is pretty darn massive. It's like you never know.
I think Possum and Crater is actually more something that we would find around here. In the South City neighborhood of Possum and Crater.
It's one of those unincorporated areas in Arkansas.
Yeah. Welcome to Possum Keep, Arkansas. All right, so we've got another birthday here in the meantime. 1950, Ann Wilson, the lead singer of the rock band Heart, is born in San Diego, California.
Yes, and of course, just a few short weeks ago, we reviewed their first album, Dreamboat Annie. So
you can hear that at followthesoundpodcast.com.
Yes, you can.
You can hear our take on all four tracks.
There's like eight tracks on the album.
No. How many tracks are named Dreamboat Annie?
Three.
Three, okay.
Yes.
Three of eight
are named Dreamboat Annie, and they're all different. It was a lot more acoustic stuff than I actually thought it would be. But in it, they had those classic, like, Heart songs, you know, the like Magic Man, which is just a great, great song. And then Crazy on You, which is still one of my favorite rock female performances of all time.
Ooh,
and
Barracuda.
And she wrote that because of the cover of Dreamboat Annie. and an advertisement that was done, and then which led to a question being asked about her and her sister possibly being lesbian lovers. And she then, being so angry at the interviewer, left, went back to her hotel room, and wrote Barracuda.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's really interesting.
I'm a fan of Heart. I've seen them live, and they still put on a great show and can still nail those songs.
You're not lying.
And she's amazing. Like, as far as female vocalists go, she is quite honestly, my favorite. Like, as far as sheer talent goes.
That's a good gig. That's a very good gig they've got. Because they do. They sound fantastic still. Live.
Yes.
So,
and if you didn't know, she also plays eight or nine instruments. And she plays flute on the album.
Wow. Wow.
Crazy, huh?
We've got another kick-ass lady who has a birthday.
Yeah, what do we got?
Mm-hmm. 1962, Paula Julie Abdul. Excuse me, let me try that again. Paula Julie Abdul is born in Los Angeles, California, and we are all richer for it.
Mm-hmm. She's a pop star. She was a big celebrity on American Idol.
Yeah.
And
then she did a dance show and all that. And her pop music was quintessentially late 80s,
yeah,
right?
Quintessentially poppy, for sure.
And that's the funniest thing about her is that she's not a great singer, but those songs were very good.
Yeah,
for the era,
for what it was, it's great. I mean, and I think honestly kudos to her too for the big resurgence of her career with American Idol, because that was, I mean, she's doing probably better now than she was when she was a pop star with all the television and just the publicity too.
Yeah. She was a dancer that became a pop star who then hosted a TV show and then went back to hosting a dance show. So,
and she is still looking good doing it.
Yeah, so. She's doing pretty.
Paula Abdul.
As far as I know, she's doing pretty well for herself still. So mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for the next TV show for her to show up on.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Don't go anywhere, Paula. You stay just the way you are.
Yeah.
And our next day in history, June 20th, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. All right, 1981, Gary U.S. Bond, last seen on the Hot 100 in 1962, reaches number 11 with This Little Girl, written for him by longtime admirer Bruce Springsteen.
Do you know how cool you have to be when Bruce Springsteen is like, I am such a huge fan of yours. I wrote this song for you. And not only that, but of course, Bruce Springsteen then helps launch the guy back onto the Billboard Hot 100 after 20 years of being stagnant.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I like it.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, if that's all you guys got for that one, then 1988 is our next one. MCA Records issues landmark albums by two of their hottest young R&B acts, Bobby Brown and Don't Be Cruel. And, of course, New Edition's Heartbreak. And if you forgot about New Edition, well, we've got them for you right here. I don't love her. I try to tell myself. But you can see it in my eyes. So don't deny. I can't fool no one else. The truth is in the tears I cry. Why do I feel this way? Why does she stay on my mind? And if it is love, why does it hurt so bad? Make me feel so sad inside. If it is love. There you go. Yeah, that sounds definitely like a R&B album from 88. Yes, it does.
New Edition is one of those groups that I keep hearing pop up on other people's tongues when they ask in an interview, the kind of cliched question of who are your influences?
Yeah. Well, and that's probably their biggest impact on the industry sometimes is just being an influencer for better acts to come.
Here's what I love is that back in the day, because the video is playing right there. Is that back in the day with that music video, people were probably just like, oh my God, their dancing is so amazing. And yet I look at it now and it's so horrendous. It's really bad.
Gotta start somewhere. Yep.
This is why I'm glad that K-pop exists to show, exactly how good people can dance and sing at the same time.
You know what? No, I'm sorry, dude. K-pop dancers are mostly terrible.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Also, they're amazing. Let's not. I mean, if we're gonna be focusing too much on the dancing, let's do the dancing thing.
Also, I'd rather not piss off the K-pop like army of fans.
I mean, they
will hunt you
down.
I
think that's an army I can take, Brian.
You just.
I don't think so.
K-pop. I think.
Did you happen to see the Billboard Music Awards?
No.
No. So this last year, I was going to do a review on it, and then I ended up not doing it, and it's been a few weeks now. So the Billboard Music Awards happened just a couple weeks ago, and there, performing as one of the last acts of the night, was a K-pop group known as BTS. Mm. BTS is probably the most well-known K-pop group in the world right now, and every time that they came up on screen, for some reason, even in the background of, like, somebody was hosting, and then all of a sudden you see, like, the distance, like, they're on the row, like, the members of BTS, all of these women just, like, shrieked their heads off. And then when they got up on stage, it was, like, deafening. I am talking, this is, like, the first time that I've ever seen anything like this. It's just freaking Beatles in stadium levels of insanity.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This is not an army you want to piss off.
I still think I can take them.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you know, Jacob, you just need to learn a few dance moves and you'll win them over.
Yeah.
Once they figure out that they can organize, we are all doomed.
No, I've already got a strategy to win this war. It's fine. I'll just videotape them insulting Insane Clown Posse, and we'll stick the Juggalos on them and stand back and watch.
Juggalos wish they had the numbers of the K-pop army.
Just roll into a public place where there's a lot of them hanging out, whatever that place is, and just start playing some BTS music, and then they'll all start going crazy, and you record it, and it's a next viral video.
BTS,
it's like a flash
versus
mob.
ICP.
A boom, and then you capitalize off those.
Someone needs to figure out how to make that mashup happen.
Yeah, see, we can't be hating on them. We just need to make money off of them.
We need... So I need to get somebody to make that an BTS / ICP mashup song.
Homies, or what is a Juggalo? And then some K-pop.
Mash them up together. It'll be amazing. All right, next.
Moving on. All right, let's go on to the birthdays, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
1924, the country gentleman Chet Atkins, one of the architects.
That is Atkins. Get it right. He is the country gentleman.
It is Atkins.
Apologies, sir.
Even Chet Atkins. Even I know that.
Yeah. He's born in Latrell, Tennessee. What can I say about Chet Atkins?
He's not
Trace Atkins.
Atkins.
Right? Yeah, Atkins. You know what? It doesn't matter. His music is what stands out, really. He kind of...
It's Chet frickin' Atkins.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Tell us
this
about
is,
it, Brian.
No. This is a guy who literally shaped the sound of the city of Nashville. I mean, his influence, musically speaking, cannot be understated when it comes to the Nashville sound.
I like that Nashville hot from KFC.
That is also true.
Still prefer his solo guitar version of Mr. Sandman to... any choir or four-part or three-piece harmony that I've heard do the song.
Oh, we're talking about Trace Atkins now?
No.
Chet. Right?
Yes, Chet.
Not Trace, the Mr. Sandman guy.
Don't worry about those notes. Those are for me.
You're confusing me. I'm not the country guy here. I'm the top 40 aficionado here. You're the rock and roll guru, yes. And Brian is the eclectic master. And together, we have a country hole that we need filled, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, we almost do need a fourth, like, person who actually knows country music.
I mean, it would round out our group better. We wouldn't be such, you know, jack-offs otherwise.
Yeah, but then we would be saying, you know, we really
You know, we honestly just need Dale Rawson.
I know.
Oh.
That's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, I know. He's busy with a lot of stuff, but we need to get him on for a show.
Hey,
how about we? We'll
he said he'd do it. I just need to let him know when.
We can do
a
country episode.
We have to get a turntable in here.
To
We can. He's got one. We can bring it in and plug it into the board.
Okay, then what are we waiting for?
That's easy. I just don't have a record player to put in here.
Planning a podcast brought to you by Lineup Media Group.
Oh, hush. Dale, if you listen to this show, get in contact with me because I'll probably forget that I said anything about this. And we'll do something good together.
Happy birthday to the country gentleman, Chet Atkins. And we have another outstanding birthday for June 20th.
Oh, this one's good.
In 1949, I loved seeing him get honored at the Kennedy Center recently for his Lifetime Achievement Award. Lionel Richie was born in Tuskegee, Alabama. He became a member of the Commodores before finding that fame and fortune as a solo artist we know and love today. Lionel Richie, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, he puts on a good show still, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He does.
He's very talented.
At Life is Beautiful, when he got up there and started playing, he had that crowd like in the palm of his hand. And he loved it because he was just like, this is amazing. He's like, I've got this really young crowd to sing to. He's like, I've got your parents.
Yeah.
And so he's like, but I'm going to, and then he totally transitioned it this way. He's like, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Before you guys came along, he's like, your parents used to have a lot more fun. They used to party, see us, and like totally went into All Night Long. And I was like, that was awesome.
You know, you kids are fun, but your parents used to dunk party, fiesta, siesta, forever. Oh, my gosh.
It was a great, great transition. And, of course, everybody knew the song, so they just went crazy.
One of the things I really love about Lionel Richie, too, is how every piece of media he does, he always just seems like he is so gosh darn humbled by everybody and the admiration, and like he knows he's a big deal, but at the same time,
yeah,
like he just, I don't know, he kind of makes me melt when it's like people are like, oh, you know, his music means so much to me and this and that, and every time it happens you look at him and he's just like oh gosh, you guys, you know, I'm just doing what I love, and like what a genuine dude. He doesn't really have anything you can hate on him for.
And he's friends with Kenny Rogers, so, you know.
keeps good company, yeah. So. Happy birthday, Lionel Richie, born this day, 1949.
Yes. Moving on to June 21st, in 1982, the first Fête de la Musique, a music festival known as World Music Day, and taking place on June 21st every year, is launched in France. Two of the caveats to being sanctioned by the official Fête de la Musique organization, all concerts must be free to the public, and all performers donate their time for free. As such, amateur and professional musicians are encouraged to perform in the streets.
Street rock. Woo!
So, I know actually that every year in Ireland, they do something similar, where basically they encourage all of these really famous musicians or whatever to go and perform on the street.
I think that's awesome.
On one very particular street. It is a very famous street in Dublin where buskers just basically line up. So,
But it doesn't like have a fancy French name attached to it.
That is true.
It's got some kind of...
But, I like the concept of this. And yeah. I wish more stuff like this existed in the world. And I'm sure it does. I just never hear about it.
Well, half of it exists because all the music festivals are like, oh, yeah, the artists donate their time for free so that we can make money.
Mm.
Right? Because, like, I mean, most of the people that play South by Southwest don't earn anything off of it.
That's true.
Their trade is the exposure of playing there.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's one of the dumbest things
so
in the music
world. So many people
are
going to see you. Wow. You could sell your merch. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, Ozfest.
The exposure is priceless.
Thing.
Wow, you get to say you were part of our festival.
I hate the fact that, like, even small clubs, though, will be like, you know, oh, you can come and play on Friday night, you know, but I can't pay you. It's like, but the exposure, that I can give you.
Right, because everyone is still being like, oh, man, you know, you can't wait to go to the Creepy Crawl to see that new artist.
Man, I miss the Creepy Crawl.
Yeah, did you show up to the show at 6 p.m. to catch that first band? Yeah. All right, well, speaking of the French, our next story comes from 2011 in, I called them Bon Iver for the first several years that I had heard of them, but I believe it is more like a Bon Iver. The self-titled second album by Bon Iver is released. The album reaches number 2 in the United States, and don't worry, I know you haven't heard of them. This is what they sound like. French.
I actually really like their stuff, but it's like one of those bands that is like super melancholy, and so I don't listen to them a lot.
Yeah, excuse me. I don't know if you guys heard the kind of distorted version that I just did or not. It sounded a little crackly.
That's how it is.
Well,
that's how the song was recorded.
With the actual, like, the bad crackles?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, I was just checking because I was going to say...
No, I was listening to it beforehand, and, like, I mean, I didn't have it at the level that I had it there. And it was still, like, that's just – and that was an official release from them. Oh, wow. So.
Okay. Everything's like that except for the vocals.
Well, I was going to say, because it's very pretty music, so I wasn't sure what the artistic take was with that. So that clears it up a lot because, I mean, I don't think you get the crackles live, so it might be more of kind of a soothing experience in person. But interesting. You know, I kind of wonder what some of the actual – concept was behind adding the crackle in there too, if it's just to kind of make you feel just a little bit uneasy at the kind of easy listening music. That might be a thing. I'm not the expert, unfortunately, but I do know that it's some damn good music, and that's why it reached number 2.
Yeah, it could have just been that maybe somebody's studio monitors were
it was just an accident
and going out, and someone said, you know, actually I think I like that, let's do that.
So here's the funny thing that I actually just was looking up. So the band was founded by Justin Vernon. The name Bon Iver derives from the French phrase bon hiver, which means good winter. Do you know where he got the phrase Bon Iver? He got it from the TV show Northern Exposure, which is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Just a little goes to show that we're all pretty much the same.
I've seen that show, and I don't recall them saying that on the show. And so now I want to go back and be like, oh yeah, they did say that.
I just remember the DVD came in like its own little parka. I thought that was cute.
Yes. That's such a good show.
I remember when the band kind of broke, and I was really hopeful. I was like, maybe this is what's going to save, like, alternative rock. Maybe this is what saves alt rock. Maybe this means it's still commercially viable. And
we hear a lot of stuff similar to it. You know, it's just there's so much of it. And I felt this way with Foster the People, where, like, a group breaks out, and it, like, introduces almost a new genre just from this one band's sound. And then that band does okay, but a bunch of other bands capitalize off of it. I mean, whoever's the first innovator isn't necessarily always like the person who makes all the money off of it. So I feel like they did have a huge impact, because I remember when they first came out, and I even did like a little podcast thing where we were talking about like, oh, this is going to be one of the next big names that you hear, was Bon Iver, or as I called them, Bon Iver at the time. Yeah. But Yeah, it's like we said, the influences go way deeper than they get credit for, like 90% of the time here. So anyways, birthdays or
let's get to some birthdays.
Okay.
All right, let's start in 1944 with Ray Davis, the guitarist and sometimes vocalist of the Kinks, is born in Forest Green, London, England.
Those guys rock.
I was listening to the Kinks the other day, actually, and they are such a good band from that era. Like, as far as I'm concerned, they were ahead of their time. So, because they were honestly like a proto-punk band.
Yeah, with the distorted guitar.
And they were so, like, you know, the Beatles were sort of cool and melodic. The Rolling Stones were bluesy and kind of dirty. I was like, but the Kinks, they were like I don't know, man. They were exactly what, like, punks. I mean,
raw. You're looking for raw.
Raw. They were very, very raw, and they weren't bluesy and just like straightforward rock, and they would play hard and fast and like just have a grand old time on stage.
They bridge that British gap between the Rolling Stones and the Sex Pistols.
Yes, yes. It's exactly what it was. I like that. That's a good explanation for where they were.
I don't think there is a better guitar sound than the beginning of You Really Got Me.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Well, even just All Day and All the Night, the same thing, that just that guitar, the dan 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 chow bound dan. Yeah, that's they. I mean, in a way, they really were ahead of their time, but they were just doing something.
But I mean, you go different. Back and watch them perform live, like you know, You Really Got Me Now or whatever, and just look at the way that he sings that song when he's just like, you know, girl. You really got me now.
Well, and that
you got
scream.
Me. Don't know. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Oh yeah, you really. I mean, like he's screaming it out.
Yeah,
and it's so good.
Like the part where he goes wow into the guitar solo.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I've heard of some interviews from them, and he's always said that everything they did right, they stole from James Brown. So, if you want to know what James Brown in a rock band sounds like, I guess it's the Kinks.
I guess so.
Every instrument's a rhythm instrument, you know.
But well, I mean, the music, musically speaking, is not very similar to James Brown. Vocally speaking, I could see how he stole stuff from James Brown.
Mm. Well, just the way the guitar riffs are used, it's really not melody; it's rhythm.
True, but it's very rhythmic. It's very riff oriented.
Yeah.
Well, our next birthday on our list is another Englander. From the year 1947, Joey Molland is the guitarist and keyboardist for Badfinger and was born in Edge Hill, Liverpool, England. And another underrated keyboard player, but nonetheless guitarist and keyboardist for Badfinger. You've heard of them? You've heard of Liverpool, England?
Mm-hmm.
And
I have not heard of Edge Hill. I'm sorry.
Edge Hill. Oh, well. At least you know one person from there.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We got one more day.
June 22nd. Man, this week's kind of flown by, actually, and even though we went on weird tangents there for a while. 1968, Mason Williams releases Classical Gas. Now, Classical Gas is, of course, a, like, great. Yeah, it's a great song with no lyrics. So, but it's just a great song to listen to. It's a great song to drive to. That's a song that you put on and you're just like, yeah, I want to go fast now.
That part where it kind of like ramps up and then just goes into like a little melody. Yep. So one of my favorite memories of Classical Gas is when I lived up in Minnesota. Everybody in Minnesota plays guitar, typically acoustically, and typically parks in a coffee shop. Like, that's the primo gig. And as a drummer, I hate the state of Minnesota because they don't need us in their music scene. They just don't need drummers because they got everything they need out of an acoustic guitar. Okay. Got that off my chest. Only because these dudes would go out and make a bunch of money playing gigs and would never invite the drummer because it was at a coffee shop. And they were like, no, we'll do better without the drummer. So, anyways, my best friend would always be playing these coffee shops, and I would always ask him to play Classical Gas because he was 16 years old sitting in the corner of a coffee shop, and he would bust out note for note Classical Gas, and it has always been one of my favorites and always brings back those warm memories with just a little bit of saltiness on the side. But like,
That's the thing. I'd never heard the actual original song before I heard my friend play it, and it was just incredible, this song that was coming out of this kid's fingertips. And so it always just left an impression on me, and I think that goes to show that it's just a good song when somebody else plays it and introduces it to you that way. So, and now I've heard it, you know, plenty of times since then, and I kind of like my buddy's version better.
Mason Williams, you may not know, was actually a comedy writer.
Really?
Yeah. He wrote for the Smothers Brothers, and I think his, like, music break might have come when he was writing for the Glenn Campbell Show. Hmm. And Glenn Campbell was like, you know, you can actually play guitar, kid.
Yeah. That's cool. See, it's, and sometimes you just need that person to just be like, you know what? You're good at this.
Yeah, you need a Glenn Campbell who has all the pull in the world to get you a contract.
Just meet someone famous, impress them, profit. Anyway.
Sounds easy.
2009, moving up just a few decades.
To a real butthole.
Right. Chris Brown pleads guilty to assaulting Rihanna the night before the Grammy Awards. He avoids jail time but is sentenced to 5 years probation and about 1,400 hours of community service. Stick a knife in my chest if that ever happens to me. Don't let me actually do 1,400 hours.
Jake's 1,400 hours.
Jesus Christ.
I would say, I mean, if you like assaulted your girlfriend, then I'd say you probably deserved it. Probably deserved 1,400 hours.
Man, I don't know.
Unless she hit back. If she hit back, then it's just a fight.
And, or you deserve a knife stuck in you like you requested.
She'd probably stab you.
Look, I'm just saying, man, like 1,400 hours of putting on that stupid orange vest and picking up trash is...
I wonder if he tried to dance around in it. You know, it's, you know, you know, you know, it's not just cleaning the side of the road like for community service. There's like a bunch of different crap they can do. That's stupid.
Are you Chris Brown? He like does a spin and is just like,
I mean, he literally there's like different types of community service. He actually could have like gone down to some like local thing and taught dance to kids like every day. And that would have counted. Which would have been super stupid,
like
too.
The boys and girls.
Because then he could just be like, you know, yeah, I'm going to sit here. Do this. Okay, work on it for the next hour. Like, I could imagine him getting out of that fairly easily to where he wasn't doing a ton of manual labor.
I wouldn't be that lucky.
True.
I'd be digging ditches for 1,400 hours. That's
Jake's out here splitting rocks.
Oh, yeah.
To make roads.
Like, oh, really? I'm sorry. I didn't notice the judge. This is my impersonation. Oh, you can drive a front end loader? Yeah. I'll see you in my garden, sir.
I see you can drive a forklift, Mr. Crumb.
Yeah. Anyway, we should move on to the
birthdays. Yeah, let's go ahead. Oh, man, what do we got here? Oh, birthdays. Yes. 1936, the one and only Kris Kristofferson is born in Brownsville, Texas.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge and heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained. Took us all away to New Orleans. I took my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana and was blowing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time and Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang a velvet song that driver knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. Feeling good was easy, Lord, when Bobby sang the blues. Feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and Bobby McGee.
There you go. I played quite a bit of that one, but that one was good.
Yeah, I could tell you were enjoying it.
Oh, I like that. And of course, I mean, Janis Joplin, you know, doing her version of Me and Bobby McGee is still one of my favorite songs that she ever did. So,
Me and my Bobby McGee. I think we heard that song on the way to the studio today.
That's quite possible.
Somebody was in the next car playing it. They were clearly enjoying this beautiful Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday that we're enjoying right now. Anyways, Chris Christopherson. No, his favorite day is definitely Sunday, when he gets to mope around and complain about how he's got no bud to smoke and he's got a headache and wears his cleanest dirty shirt. That's it. Of course, we all know Chris Christopherson wrote "Sunday Morning Coming Down."
Yup.
Which is my favorite song and probably the only one I really know from him.
And your favorite episode of Drunk History.
It's also a good episode of Drunk History, starring Johnny Knoxville as Johnny Cash.
Like I said before, the rebel country era is my favorite country era.
Well, this next guy, I'd just like to say that his big hit single is also the touchdown song for the Green Bay Packers. Dun, 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 that's your cue, Jake.
All right. 1948, Todd Rundgren is born outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now in the 70s, he was a solo artist and had a little bit of a hit sometime after he was ready to let it go. Hello, It's Me. He had recorded and released, and then it took 3 years to get airplay. So I think he had already changed record labels and was trying to do like a David Bowie, like androgynous character on stage. So whenever that song actually started tracking, he went on TV and played it with like butterfly wings glued to his eyelashes and had a really weird like American Bandstand appearance.
I got this, that. Guys.
Hello, it's me, you know? Anyway, however, you might not know that he was also a music producer, and his biggest success came with Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell. On his 50th birthday, however, so 1998, he wed his wife, Michelle Gray, who is a self-professed professional has-been. She's been a trapeze performer, dancer, actress, and member of the band The Tubes. The wedding took place in Hawaii, the 50th state.
Nice.
They're still together.
Cool.
Wow.
I dig that.
There you go.
Now, of course.
Touchdown, Packers! I don't want to work. Just want to bang on these drums all day.
You're the only one that's excited about this.
I don't want to play. I just want to bang on these drums all day.
You're looking like you're not a Todd Rundgren
fan. Don't want to record a podcast.
No,
I just want to bang.
What it is he was the producer for Bat Out of Hell, and Bat Out of Hell is one of my like favorite albums. I know I say favorite album a lot. That's because different favorite albums fall into different categories for me, and so like as far as a rock opera kind of goes. Like this is the song. This is the album for me.
Is Todd the one who went back and re-recorded the whole Bat Out of Hell album himself? Is that the guy?
Ooh, I don't know.
Good question.
Because you know what I'm talking about.
I honestly don't remember.
The guy who wrote all the music went back and re-recorded the whole album with him instead of Meatloaf. I was just wondering, is it Todd Rundgren?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
The guy who wrote like all the stuff was the piano player.
So it was probably
Steinman.
Is Steinman. That's right. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you, Jake.
I think he just did that because he wanted to.
Well, it was such a huge album.
Because they were still involved together like well after that. I mean, doing music and stuff. So
I mean, if I wrote all those great songs, I'd want to at least perform them
but
once.
But Bat Out of Hell is still just a great song. I mean, when he hits that chorus, you know, like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes. I love that song.
All right, here is another piece of weird Todd Rundgren trivia, though.
Go for it.
So the guy that shot John Lennon, Mark David Chapman.
Yes.
I passed on a story earlier in the week involving him. However, he actually had a really bizarre fascination with Todd Rundgren and had planned to kill Todd Rundgren, but farted it up twice.
Thank goodness.
Like, I'm pretty sure one time he bought a plane ticket to go to a Todd Rundgren show on, like, the wrong week.
Oh,
Like that kind of a just
what a doofus.
Yeah. Oh no, he was a total fuck up.
Worst then killer ever.
And then he like successfully kills John Lennon.
He tried to do that a couple of times too. Like he flew to New York a few times, chickened out once, and then another time just didn't run into him. And then dumb luck, he actually, you know, ran into John Lennon outside his hotel.
That's crazy. Day. Yeah. You know, I always meant to watch that movie that Jared Leto played that dude, but I never got a chance to.
No.
So, seems crazy enough. All right, one more thing. What do we got?
Last one. 1953. Born in Astoria, Queens, New York. The soon-to-be star, Cyndi Lauper, is born, ladies and gentlemen. Cyndi Lauper.
I don't really know what to make of that, actually. I mean, like, I know it's a good song, but at the same time, the producer to me probably was just like, hey, we're going to have drums weirdly in the background of you singing this pretty sweet chorus.
Do, da, do, 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 cha.
And we're just going to make those drums really loud.
Do, 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 cha.
And you just singing like this higher voice that you do, and it's going to sound really sweet. And then we're going to have these stupid loud drums in the background behind you.
Do, da, do, 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 da.
So there you go. I've always liked Cyndi Lauper. I've always been a fan of Cyndi Lauper. I like the fact that she's got such a unique voice when it comes to the way that she sings and the way that she sounds. And I mean, obviously, Girls Just Want to Have Fun is like the most famous thing that she did. But then, I mean, she did Time After Time, which is
True
a great
Colors.
Song. True Colors.
Isn't she on like a commercial for an antidepressant right now or something?
She probably
it's
is.
It's like Reclaim Your Life. And it's like, hi, I'm. It just labels her as Cyndi.
I'm Cyndi Lauper.
It just says Cyndi at the bottom.
Yeah. but she's always been one of these ladies that like her and Pat Benatar, I think, have always just had just superb voices when it comes to the 80s pop rock type stuff. But of course, everybody should also know that Girls Just Want to Have Fun was then converted into an 80s film starring Sarah Jessica Parker and Helen Hunt.
Good casting. Good casting.
All about a girl who has a dream to be on dance TV.
Cyndi Lauper. She was like, I mean, would you consider her like one of the biggest pop stars for her time?
Easy one of the biggest.
I mean, was she like the biggest? Because it's just a little bit ahead of my time here.
I'd say in the 80s, Cyndi Lauper was one of the most well-known female singers in that genre. I mean, easily one of.
Well, because, like, I mean, who would come close?
I don't know, like, I mean, Bananarama?
Madonna, eventually.
Pat Benatar, oh, yes. Madonna, yeah. I've always liked Cyndi Lauper way more than I ever liked Madonna, so...
She was kind of an interesting like pop sensation in the fact that when singles were still a thing, she sold a ton of them, but still had respect from like serious musicians because she had such a great voice.
Yeah.
And she was willing to work on other people's project and not try and upstage people.
She was good to work with. I think that's a very important thing in the industry. Well,
and also pro wrestling. She loved pro wrestling.
Well, we don't have any big scandals about Cyndi Lauper to tell you about, so that's a good start. Wow. Well,
that's it.
All right, guys.
We've reached the end.
Wow.
Yes, another great show in the books. Folks, this has been Follow the Sound. If you want to help us out, remember, go to our website at followthesoundpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side, or you can just go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon and do all of that shopping, and we get a little bit of money from everything that you buy. It won't cost you anything extra, though. Once again, thanks to lineupmedia.fm. Go check out all of the other great podcasts we have on lineupmedia.fm. We are, of course, recording live from the Lineup Media Studios and having ourselves a good old time. Check out yoradio.com. Download the app. It is completely and totally free. You can get it on iTunes and Google Play and listen to all the free music that is out there. I mean, it's just nonstop free music, wall to wall, ear to ear, face to face. No, it's not face to face. But it's definitely a great resource just to hear music whenever you want, completely and totally for free.
It's like interface to interface.
So, yes, it's good stuff. Check out yoradio.com or download the app. And very shortly, Follow the Sound. We'll have our very own radio station on Yo Radio where we will broadcast whole albums, the ones that we love, and we hope that you love them too. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Greg Harvey.
Guys, they stuck the popsicle. No, it's a lollipop. They stuck the lollipop in his eye, you guys.
And Jacob Crum.
Thank you for listening.
Remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.